Welcome to the Christway Connect podcast, creating pathways, connecting people to Christ, to others, to purpose. Welcome to the Christway Connect podcast. This is the place where we say Jesus is the way, everything else is a conversation. Today I'm going to be having the conversation with you. This is Andy, and I'm in studio by myself. This episode will air on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So I hope you are able to enjoy Thanksgiving. I hope you're able to be with friends and family, whatever that may look like. And I hope you are able to truly embrace gratitude and the spirit of generosity and thanksgiving and how all of those fit together in this beautiful season. We're thankful for this season, the opportunity to just pause in the entire month and be thankful. This is also interesting because we are in our final session on worship, looking at the book, A Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster, the internal, external, and corporate disciplines. And we are wrapping up, quickly approaching 1 year of this podcast as we went through all 12, one per month, all 12 disciplines. And again, we're wrapping up the last one of worship. As I was thinking about worship, and I'm thinking about it being right before Thanksgiving, and of course, you're going to hear this and already into the Christmas season, we broke our own tradition of waiting until after Thanksgiving, went out earlier this week and got a Christmas tree, cut it down, a beautiful Scotch pine, I think we have, I don't know, Douglas fir, who knows? I'm the saw person. So we cut it down. Melinda and Emma choose, J.O. totes it on the cart, and I cut it down. So, but we have a beautiful tree, already thinking about the Christmas season, and we're transitioning our auditorium for the month of December with lights and trees and such, celebrating his birth. And we think about that. And so that's kind of where my mind has been walking and where I've been traversing. So I began to think of worship, and I began to think of it in the context of December and in the context of our cultural celebration of Christmas and Jesus coming and Jesus' birth. And my mind went to the story of the Magi. And in Matthew chapter 2, I'm going to read a little bit out of the NIV. The heading is the visit of the Magi, the wise men, the kings. It begins like this, chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." Now, I think what's so interesting about that, we have the three wise men. We can see those in the creche. We can see those in yards and front yards and on tables and fireplace mantles and things like that. And we see the wise men, and they're maybe with camels, or they're walking or bowing, or they have crowns, and they're certainly all carrying something, right? And we think about the gifts, the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. I wonder if we think as much about the fact and the purpose of their visit is that we're looking for him. Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. So some trigger for them, some drawing, some gravitational pull through this star and their understanding of what that may have meant to them. And I don't know if you've done this. I've certainly gone outside on a cold winter night, and I look up and I'm like, how low did that star have to be? How in the world can a star lead you? I often think about if I'm on one side of town and you know, the star is over Cracker Barrel, and that's where Jesus is. And how am I supposed to know it's Cracker Barrel and not Walgreens, or it's not Chick-fil-A, or it's not, you know, whatever. Yeah, I think you get the point. So how do we get that, right? I don't know. But there was this draw. And it was drawing them to the Savior. It was drawing them to the King. I wonder if they knew him as Savior. Where do they even come from, right? From the East and the mystery of all of that. But what's not a mystery is that they came to worship. And so I've been thinking about that today. I wanted to talk with you about that. We talk about corporate worship. Oh my goodness, wonderful sessions this past month. Wonderful podcast, conversations with Lawrence and Michelle Ehrlich. And Arnick and I really enjoyed being around the mic together just in the entire month. But a lot of it was talking about leading singing or leading music or corporate worship or kind of dialing in and discerning between, you know, what's praise, what's worship. Is a worship team a thing? Is that an annoying phrase? Like, who's the audience? And what are we doing? And it's a Sunday morning and all those kinds of things. But my mind today has been thinking about, what were those three guys doing? And who was all with them? What if they had servants? And what if they had this whole entourage that came with them as they traversed mile after mile? And they would sleep during the day, I guess, and they would travel at night in order to see the star and be guided by that. I mean, I'm making that assumption. I have, of course, no idea, but I would think that's probably what's happening. And as you travel in the night, you get closer. And the draw of what? Like, what was going on? What was the draw in them? What drew them to go see a king? Go to the White House to see the president? I've been in D.C. at the White House, and one time years ago, man, this was quite a while ago, President Clinton was in office. And my wife and her parents and we were all walking through D.C. and we looked up on the White House and we saw Men in Black, not the movie, and guys in black in the trees, and they were carrying weapons, and the huge SUVs were out front, all the black and tinted windows and all of that. And so we saw all that. We're like, okay, you know, we're not the brightest bulbs in the box, probably. We could figure out something important is going on. Someone's moving or has just gotten there. And so we walked down the street, and as we're traveling down the street, we saw a Metro police officer, and we asked him, we're like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, good timing. He was on his motorcycle. He said, I'm going to pull out in about 3 minutes, and he's going to come by. Second car. He likes to wave. That's what I remember him telling us. So we stood right on that corner. And as told, woo, pulled out, stopped traffic, and here came the motorcade. The first car shot through. The second car shot through. And President Clinton was in the back seat of the second car. You could see through the window. And he had his glasses pulled down on his nose. He was reading something. He looked up at us and waved as we waved. And we saw Mrs. Clinton in the car as well. And it was a gripping moment. It was pretty intense, actually. And when you saw that pass by in just that fleeting second, you were taken by something. It was pretty amazing. It was a pretty cool story. I can reflect on it right now and think about it. I didn't go to D.C. to even see the president. I didn't even think it would happen. When I did see him, it was a surprise. It was surprisingly cool, actually, to just have that little moment right there. And you wave, he waves. But I didn't come to worship him. That was never one of the line items on the agenda, that I would come to Washington, D.C. to worship him. Yet these three men were traveling, and they say, we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And I wonder if that gives us maybe a better glimpse of what worship is than even what we've discussed over the last 4 weeks, as good as those podcasts have been, and I sure hope they've been meaningful or helpful for you. But what does it mean to seek him? Maybe that's worship. What does it mean to be drawn to him? It sure feels like worship to me. A little more difficult to define or, you know, even discern or designate. But I can say that even as I say it, just speaking in this room by myself into this microphone, I can feel something about that. Like I can feel that draw of, maybe that's worship. When I'm simply drawn to seek him. And when I see him, what's happening in that moment? Do I have to do something? Do I have to sing? I don't believe the Magi sang. Of course, it doesn't say. We do know they gave gifts. And you know, you can argue it. Likely, Jesus was maybe even a toddler, right? So the star apparently came out when he was born, and they followed it, and you know, arguably some time passed, and so maybe they're showing up on toddler Jesus instead of, you know, the baby in the manger Jesus. Regardless, they were seeking to see the king, and not just see him. I went to Washington to see the White House. I would travel to go see the president speak. But I didn't go to worship him. And they say specifically, we have come to worship him. So again, is that the draw? Do you have to bring a gift? Or is it simply acknowledging the finding of the first question? Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? And what's so interesting, and I think about in this moment, is it's not just, I mean, it wasn't like there was no king in the entire world. Hey, the Jews are the only ones with a king, and they don't have one, and now one is born, so let's go find that special person. King Herod, in verse 3, the very next verse, speaks of King Herod. It wasn't as if they were enamored by someone being a king, but they were enamored by this, drawn to worship the King of the Jews. It wasn't like there was some drought of kings in the world. In fact, the Magi can be considered kings. They're considered a lot of things. I don't know if any of us actually know what that means to be Magi, the wise men, astronomers, kings, I don't know. But they're kings seeking a king. They pass by King Herod. They pass by many kings, I'm sure, seeking this one. I wonder if that's our story of worship. In our life, we have sought those meaningful things, acceptance and belonging and community and purpose. And we've sought those things from so many sources. And now we move past those and we drive past that. And we're going to walk past that. And here's a king and here's a king and here's another king, and here's a king people are worshiping, and here's another king in power, and there's a king in power. We walk past that one, and we walk past. We're seeking the King of the Jews. Interesting to me. They're seeking this baby, the baby that's not able to do anything. It's not as if the baby would be able to even speak to them. There may have been language differences. Even if a baby, toddler Jesus, what would he have been able to say? He probably would have taken the gold and put it in his mouth and rubbed the frankincense all over the counter and smashed the myrrh in his hair. You know, I mean, that's what we're talking about. He would have had to have a diaper change in the middle of their visit. There wasn't a lot of power going on here. There wasn't a lot of reciprocity in the fact that we'll come see you and you'll give us this. What if worship is simply about the acknowledging of his presence? That feels so powerful to me to say, and I feel it even in this space. What if worship is simply, I'm seeking to find you. I acknowledge you as king. And I acknowledge your presence. What if that is our posture moving forward in the days and weeks to come as we move toward Christmas? So many of us would easily say, you know, we have found him. I believe it was Andrew, the brother of Peter, in the Gospels, where Andrew and John, disciples of John the Baptist, had been exposed to Jesus. And Andrew runs to his brother. And he says, brother, we have found him. I felt that way so many times in my journey, my life in disarray and my life directionless. And it looked good. There were quite a few times in my life that it looked pretty good. But I was seeking the wrong things. I certainly wasn't finding what I wanted or needed in those other things, in those, let's just call them idols, those other gods, those other kings. But when I had that intersection with Jesus, April 28, 1991, 1535 Ritchie Highway, Arnold, Maryland, I know where I was. I know the date and the time. I know where I was. When I had that intersection, I feel like I can look back on that and say, hey, I found him. I found him. And the connection to that is what continues to permeate through me, and I hope to exude from me in worship. Fill me with great peace and joy, purpose, belonging, meaning, a sense of awareness. He's aware of me. And what comes out of me is worship. Whether I speak or whether I sing, or whether I smile, or whether I'm still, or whether I stand, or I kneel, I'm seeking the one, the King of the Jews, and I found him. And I don't have to do anything except be, because I am worshiping him for that very reason, that he doesn't have to do anything for me. The toddler Jesus had very little to give. Some slobber. Wouldn't it be amazing, the wise men, to reach down, pick up the boy, hold him like a toddler in their arms. He pull at their beard, maybe get a frowny face and need to be with Mary, right? They tried to hold him and the other two guys are looking at him and they laugh. Or maybe he didn't want to be held by one of them and jumped to the other. That's what toddlers do. We know that. And yet in all of that, they laughed. They smiled, they may have cried, but the joy of worship because we have found him. That would be my prayer for you through this holiday season, that as we move through the next weeks in December and you think about what worship is, and you think about what you have come to know of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Rescuer, Jesus the Redeemer, that there's not much that you actually have to bring. If you have a song, sing it. If you have something to say, say it, write it, sing it, lift it up. Raise your hands, clap your hands, stand, sit, kneel, whatever it is. But it's probably more about, I've been a seeker and I've found him and I acknowledge his existence. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Our worship can simply be that. We acknowledge him as king. That's the basis and foundation of our salvation. We acknowledge him as Lord. We confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe that God raised him from the dead. That's the king. That's the Lord. All power in heaven and earth is given to Jesus because of the reality of that statement. We say it, King of kings, Lord of lords. It's amazing how those guys knew that when they journeyed all those miles to find him. I pray that in your journey over these next days and weeks into the month of December and up to Christmas, that it would be this kind of worship and that it would carry through into the coming year, 2022, that it would just simply be the simplicity and the beauty and, might I say, the depth of worship in our acknowledging of who he is, King of the Jews. Thank you for joining me today. I'd like to pray over you and pray with you and for you before we go. Father, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for all the wonderful mystery and splendor of this coming month as we in our tradition celebrate his birth in December. We think of him, we look and see and remember and retell stories and the stories of his birth and his coming and your gift and your love for us, it resonates in and around and through us. I pray that our awareness could be transformed into worship. Transformed into worship just because we acknowledge who you are, what you've done. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, we worship you for who you are, King of kings, Lord of lords. Thank you for being that. They saw a baby. We don't even get to see you in that way, but we knit our hearts together. We expose our hearts. We open our hearts to you, and we worship you, and we thank you for who you are. May the blessing of his coming be love and light to you in these coming days and months. Thank you again for your faithfulness to join us on the Christway Connect podcast. We hope it's a meaningful touch for you. Know that we love you, and until next week, take care. Be blessed.